Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Ian. It's 9:09. Into the home stretch we go. Pat Connick joins us, state senator, to talk about this Belchase Bridge fiasco. How you doing, Pat?
Hey, Tommy. Doing well.
I don't know if you want to start with some background on this or not, but I'm thinking never have so many been screwed with so little information available out there. Tell me how we got to where we are today.
You know, this started in 2019. The DOTD entered a contract with these guys to build a bridge that was sorely needed, and the bridge is built. But what we have is a bridge that passes through a small community. It's less than a mile, but it's a toll bridge. It's like putting a toll on, like, at the corner of Cleary and Vets. People have to go back and forth, and they're getting hit with these tolls. And the tolls aren't cheap, and the fees aren't cheap.
Nope.
Since they... Tolls have been in operation for 4 months, Tommy, and in that time this company billed $5.1 million in tolls and $6.7 million in administrative cost, which included fees, postage, penalties, credit card charges. So a total of $12 million has been billed to this community in Belchase, and they're not reasonable. It's crushing.
In how many months, Pat?
Four.
It's crazy.
Yeah. You look at the contract. It's a 500-page contract. It allows for fees that are reasonably necessary, but it appears that they collected all this money and not providing any customer service.
None.
None whatsoever. The GoPass website does not work, no customer service center, no resolution to the issues. We had a hearing on Friday in Baton Rouge with Senate Transportation where we called these guys up to come testify. And they heard testimony of a single mother of three with three teenage kids, two vehicles. She's got a bill for $6,000.
Wow.
And the solution is put her on a payment plan. I said, no, we're going to help this lady.
That's plenary or the go? I'm confused as to who's running what here, Pat, because I'm a victim. Not victim, but, you know, I sent them a letter, not such a polite letter, where they sent me a bill. Even though they had my license plate with the go pass and they're telling me I owe money for tolls. And it's like, no, do your freaking job. Look up the license plate and see that I have a go pass and cancel this. I'm not going to pay you anything. But that's not $6,000. That's like $38. Tell me what's going on with plenary or go pass or who's running the show.
There's a company called CAPS that is out of Atlanta. They are the subcontractor in charge of the tolling system, working with the GoPass and all the software to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's another issue. One lady showed me her bill that when her vehicle goes across, it automatically charges her husband's truck. So she's being double billed. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But they send in these false invoices through the U.S. mail, and we're going to make an issue of that. I've been talking to the attorney general and the auditor, state auditor. We're going to do some audits, but we've got to file an action. I've been, you know, talking to the parish leaders over there, Keith Hinckley and the district attorney, Charles Ballet, and the council. They have to file what I feel is a temporary restraining order to stop the fees until these guys get this right. Because restaurants are hurting. Salvo's restaurant is down. That lady testified that a dress shop, somebody came from, I don't know, we had better to buy a dress. The dress cost, you know, $76, and the charge you got for fees is $56.
Mm.
People are going to stop going to Clackamas Parish. And that right there shows that this contract is against public policy, and it's got to change somehow.
Who signed this contract, Pat? Who are the signatories of this?
It's the past administration, nothing to do with Jeff Landry's administration. It's the DOTD secretary. We're digging into all this. We're going to ask for some emails exchange about what who approved these fees and what is this company doing to earn this money. And it's absolutely nothing. It's not working. So, listen, I feel for the folks in Plaquemines and those folks who go to, you know, if you're towing a boat to go fishing in Venice, you're going to get hit with a $36 bill.
Really?
Who's going to
for the trailer and everything else?
Exactly, because of the length. And there's a young man who owns a bait and tackle shop right at the base of the bridge.
Right.
And he was in tears because you know, people stopped going. The boats aren't passing in front of him. Yet DoorDash people call him and say, we're not delivering in Plaquemines Parish because we can't afford to pay, you know, all these crazy fees. So it's a mess. And my goal, and I think Jacob Bro is with me. I know he's with me. He's the state rep down there, mm-hmm. and Gary Carter. To make this issue known to the rest of the state that this is a bad deal and we got to watch these P3s going forward.
So can anything be done to undo this as it relates to the tolls, or are you talking only about fees here and administrative costs?
We're looking at everything. And this has happened in other states. My research that shows that, you know, there has been a buyout or the state has taken over. But you can't have these exorbitant bills to cross a bridge that serves a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, it's just crazy. It's not a toll on a bridge going, you know, 24 miles from, I-10 to the marsh. This is a bridge through a neighborhood over a ditch, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you live
there. I do live there. I know exactly what you're talking about. So somebody had to sign off on this, though. And I'm wondering, you're a lawyer. How do you unilaterally or did the previous administration put Plaquemines Parish in such a bad situation or the state in such a bad situation that they have no negotiating room and plenary whomever it is can say, well, screw you, that's a deal.
Listen, it's that's what they're doing now, but I think we're going to try to find a way to crack it. I looked for the name of the company, for the law firm who negotiated this deal. It's out of Washington, D.C., we're going to look at them real hard and see, you know, why did you make this deal for these folks in Plaquemines Parish or for the state? Because it's a raw deal. In this bridge, there was only one bidder, Tommy. There was no competition for the mm-hmm. for the job. The whole thing stinks, and we got to dig into it and see what happens and fix it.
Give me the time frame on these tolls, too.
Well, it's a 30-year contract, and you know, for 30 years they can toll to collect on this bridge. Some folks say when it's all said and done, they collect $800 million for a bridge over the Industrial Canal, which is insane. But in the first 4 months of operation, they billed tolls only $5.1 million, and then the hidden fees, administrative costs, and all that other stuff was an additional $6.7 million. And it's unsustainable.
Is this the kind of thing where they should have? I'm trying to think of like best practices. Somebody texted in, it is a public-private partnership. That's the P3 thing that Pat Connick was talking about. But is this the kind of thing where they put it out for bids, only one person bid on it, they only let one person bid on it, or do you know? You're still trying to unpack all of this.
No, they had two people bid on it. But then, if you recall, there was a collapse of a bridge in Florida, in Tallahassee. That company was involved in bidding on the bridge. That was the second company. But after that collapse happened, they bailed out, and so it was just left with plenary. So you
but at that, at that time, should they have rebid it? Would that have been best practices?
I don't know. I think so, absolutely. But did they do it and why they did it? I don't know, but we're going to look and find out.
It just seems to me, as a layman, and I'm no attorney, just a guy who lives in Belchase, it seems like somebody signed us up to 30 years, and somebody could be making a ton of money off of this, And I'm not implying anything, but who knows who got paid what for what? And we're paying for this for 30 years. Now, this is $12 million over 4 months, and this has just begun. We're talking about 30 years of this, and this is not sustainable. I don't see this possibly going on. Do you?
It can't, because the fact that it's destroying the economy of Plaquemines Parish, I think the Plaquemines has standing to file suit. Because the tax base is being eroded, it's not good public policy.
And Plaquemines had nothing to do with this, right, Pat, when it came to approving the contract? I understand that right?
Nothing to counsel with, nothing to, you know. The people had, the main part about it, the folks in Plaquemines Parish had nothing to, they didn't bless this contract. You know, they needed a new bridge. They should have gotten a new bridge. We're building a bridge across the river in Covington. With no toll. That's the exact same bridge we have here. But they don't have a toll, so it's unequal treatment. There's all kinds of constitutional issues. The state's going to have to step up in a big way to relieve this burden, and I'm going to beat the drum in Baton Rouge to make sure that we get some kind of relief somehow, along with, you know, Jacob Bro. He's the representative down there. He's been working hard also to try to expose this and get some resolution.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. 920, Tommy Tucker, Belchase resident, angry as are you about this whole bridge thing and how it came to be. And $12 million after 4 months, and this is set to go for 30 years. And I don't see how this can go for 30 years under this current situation. I honestly don't. And we'll talk to Pat about some legal things as well. And when you, if you have any text, 504-260-1870. And we'll talk, we'll pass them along to Pat Connick when we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. A couple of minutes left with Senator Pat Connick talking about the Belchase Bridge fiasco. Somebody texted in, Pat said, pay with time or money for decades as a Plaquemines resident. I was forced to pay with time and money, burning gas, waiting for the damn bridge, or having to take Woodland Highway to go around. Now others must do the same. The quality of my life has drastically improved with this bridge. But that's not the case for a lot of people, and when it comes to customer service with this GoPass thing, they give you an option of what? Going down to Golden Meadow or trying good luck with the phone or the website?
There's one customer service center that was in Golden Meadow. We really complained about that. So they're going to have a 3-month center in the parish administrative buildings starting. I think it's already started today. So the pressure is making them do some changes for the good. But
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Those fees, you know, what do you tell the mother who's going to bill for $6,000? Don't buy groceries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pay this toll bridge over a road through your neighborhood.
You're a lawyer. Can they turn you over to credit collection or anything for this?
The contract allows for that. I mean, it goes to, cause so people's credit can be harmed. You look at the contract that's written. It says fees must be reasonably necessary. These fees aren't reasonable. And that's where we got to attack them legally and get it changed.
What's the next step, Pat? And how soon could anybody expect relief?
I can't predict anything, but we're going to try. I will guarantee you we will try and uncover every stone and see what's there and try to fix this and let the world know that this is going on in Plaquemines Parish and it's got to stop.
Has the governor been informed of this? Is he involved?
The governor is aware. I haven't spoken to him personally about it, but I've talked to his top folks and the secretary, and And they were shocked as I was and everybody was when you see these bills that are being used, being sent out to people. They make no sense and they're wrong, and people are being harmed. That's the thing we need to fix. I agree with the guy, yeah, we needed a bridge, but not at this cost.
Well, when you look at the money that the LNG plant is bringing to the state, you would think, if anything, the state would have been glad to build a bridge to facilitate that, right?
I think the taxes collected from the LNG plant are like $450 million, or something crazy number like that. So, but we got to get some of that money to help get this bridge paid for.
Crazy. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, all right?
We'll keep on it. Thank you, Tom.
You bet. I know you will. When it comes to tolls and making them go away, Pat Connick's the guy, and he'll continue to be like a dog with a pork chop with this. He's not going to let it go. John Sillars joins us now. Speaking of pork chops, chief strategy. Not there yet? I thought you told me he was. John Sillars, chief strategy officer for Second Harvest Food Bank, we're going to talk to about the Rubber Duck Derby that's coming up and about the work that Second Harvest Food Bank does, because the need goes on. It's going to be the holidays soon here where a lot of people are going to be concerned with feeding the hungry, but the need goes on year-round. Is he there? Okay. Now we welcome John Sillars, chief strategy officer for Second Harvest Food Bank. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Tell me about the Duck Derby coming up Saturday, and then we'll talk about Second Harvest in general.
Sure. We have our 16th annual Duck Derby occurring this Saturday from 12 to 2 at the Big Lake and City Park, and we're just absolutely excited. It's going to be a beautiful sunny day, and we will be pouring 30,000 ducks into the Big Lake for a race, and the person who has sponsored the duck that crosses the finish line first wins $5,000. And it's just going to be a real good time out at the Big Lake and City Park. Festivities start at noon, and the race actually happens at 2 o'clock. And so there's all kinds of fun festivities. And not only, you know, if your duck is not the first place winner, there are a group of second through 12th prizes ranging from a two-night stay at the Windsor Court with crew eyewear sunglasses. There's Raising Cane's for a year. Bicycle World is offering a Sun Bicycles Retro Cruiser. You can also win Theo's Pizza. You could get pizza for a year. Fulton Alley Pin Party Package. There's a $300 gift card to Zia's. Ochsner Fitness Center, six-month membership. The Beignet Fest is offering two Lanyap Lounge Passes. Copper Vine Wine Pub and Inn has a one-night stay. Rich's Wash Dat has a $250 gift card. And then Winn-Dixie has a $250 gift card. And so there are a lot of prizes for people. And even if you don't win, it's going to be a really nice time. There's going to be Plum Street Snowballs. There's going to be all kinds of snacks and cookies and music being played. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And even if you can't go, you can still support the effort, because I don't know if I can go or not, but I'm definitely already have purchased my 25 ducks.
Oh, absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you very much for reminding me. Yes, that's true. You can still sponsor ducks and you don't have to come. In fact, if you've got a relative who lives in Oakland, for instance, and mm-hmm. wants to sponsor ducks, all they have to do is go to duckrace.com/NOLA and you can sponsor a duck. Or 2 or 12.
I would imagine some of what you're going to be doing out there Saturday is recruiting, John, for volunteers or not. We have information available?
We will. We actually have volunteers there because, you know, once the ducks race, we have to get them back loaded into bins, and we're going to have a group of volunteers there with nets scooping the ducks out of the pond and dropping them onto tarps, and then we put them in the blue bins and load them onto our trucks and go back to the warehouse.
You know, going to scooping rubber ducks out of a pond with a net, it just yep. goes to, and I always say that, nothing just happens. I don't care if you're, pardon, you know, the previous expression, building a bridge, or if you're just setting up chairs at a PTA meeting, somebody has to do it. And talk about the volunteer needs, the importance of volunteers at Second Harvest, if you would, please.
last year, we had over 10,000 unique volunteers. And so that's a person who decided to come and volunteer maybe once, maybe twice, maybe a lot of times. We had over 10,000 of those people come to one of our four facilities in South Louisiana to volunteer, be it packing meals for seniors in one of our kitchens, to packing boxes, again, for seniors, or sorting food, or even staffing a distribution, which they take place throughout the year, or coming to the Duck Derby on Saturday, September 27th, and scooping out ducks or manning one of our booths to give people information.
When it comes to the different things that people can do and the shifts, talk about that, if you will, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me give you an example. We have two programs, one for seniors and one for kids, and they actually, we provide meals, prepared meals for children and after-school programs, as well as seniors as part of the Meals on Wheels programs for Jefferson, Plaquemines, St. Bernard, as well as even Calcasieu parishes. We have volunteers who come as early as 6 a.m. to help plate meals. The food has already been prepared, but they have to be put in these little three-chambered trays. And we have volunteers who come as early as 6 a.m. to make sure that about 1,500 meals are ready to go out the door by 8:30 in the morning. And so that requires a big commitment. Then we have shifts that are later in the day that help us prepare the meals or go out to schools after school programs, kids after school programs. And that is, you know, that requires volunteers. And so whether you're an individual who wants to give back or you're a part of a club or a group or a company, we have all takers who come. And then we also, in our warehouse, we have this program that we've had for a little over a year. It's called the Commodity Supplemental Food Program. It's a senior box. We deliver 19,000 boxes every month to seniors who are on a fixed to low income, and they qualify for this. It's all shelf-stable products, nutrient-dense foods that goes into a box, weighs about 35 pounds, but we've got to load it up with about, I'd say, 25 products. And so it goes down an assembly line, and you're standing at, as the box passes by, you drop in either a can or a box. I'm looking at that line right now, and it's...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to go for volunteers. And so we need to spit out 19,000 of those boxes every month.
There is something for every level of ability, right? If you got bad hands, they'll find something for you to do, or you'll find something for them to do. If you got bad feet, you'll find something for them to do. If you got bad knees, et cetera. I'm not trying to make it seem as though everybody's got problems, but I guess what I'm saying is don't automatically rule yourself out if you got arthritis in a hand or something like that.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, you know, we will make accommodations for you. If you want to volunteer, we will make accommodations for you.
And tell me about the need, because I know we've been seeing cuts to food banks around the country. How's Second Harvest doing? Has that affected it? And also talk about, if you will, about the Second Harvest and just the Archdiocese and how no contributions to or donations to Second Harvest has been used for anything other than food.
Okay, I can talk about that. We have an incredible need. Our There are more than 436,000 people in South Louisiana in our 23-parish service area, going all the way from the Texas border to the Mississippi state line, who are experiencing food insecurity. That includes people in the Bayou, Southeast Louisiana, the North Shore, Acadiana, and Southwest Louisiana, who are experiencing food insecurity. That number is up from last year. And so in the meantime, due to changes in federal policy, we are getting less food from the USDA, about the equivalent to about nearly 5 million fewer meals this year than we did last year. And so we need community support more than ever. You had asked about the Archdiocese. We are an apostle of the Archdiocese. But what I can say is there has been no transfer of money to the Archdiocese for settling any kind of for any kind of bankruptcy settlement. None of that has happened. The money that you give to Second Harvest, for instance, the money that people pay to sponsor a duck, you know, you sponsor a $5 duck, that money is going to be used to either purchase food that we used to get from the USDA or distribute that food to one of our more than 500 community partners in South Louisiana to get it to the people who need it most.
Thank you. Give me the website real quick where we can buy our ducks.
It is www.duckrace.com/NOLA.
And you can always go to
no-hunger.org. We even have a window there. So if you go to no-hunger.org and you click the banner for the duck race, it'll take you right where you need to be.
And volunteer if you can. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. We'll take a break. We come back. The Saltwater Sill is back. We'll talk with Ricky Boyette, Chief of Public Affairs for the Army Corps of Engineers, about that when we return. 9:40, 20 till 10, traffic now, WWL. All right, 9:46, 14 till 10, just when you thought it was safe. I guess it's still safe, but we're going to talk about a saltwater wedge and what the Corps of Engineers is doing for that. We welcome in our friend Ricky Boyette, Chief of Public Affairs for the Army Corps of Engineers, New Orleans Division. How you doing, Ricky?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Tell me about this saltwater wedge and why is it necessary? Is it a saltwater wedge or an underwater sill? What are we calling this?
So no,
you're
the
building the
is...
sill to prevent the wedge. I got it. Go ahead.
That's exactly right. Okay. We are seeing saltwater intrusion start to move up into the Mississippi River, and we have now reached our trigger that we build it's an underwater levee, an underwater sill that will arrest the progress upriver.
So explain how this works, the physics of this, if you will, Ricky, please.
Sure. The saltwater is much more dense than the freshwater that the river has. So it crawls along the bottom in a wedge shape. So the front of it will be about 15 miles ahead of where you would have saltwater at the top of the river. So it slowly crawls up the river. What we do is we build an obstacle that saltwater then has to fill in behind before it can continue moving forward.
Pile up, if you will, right?
That's exactly right. We're creating kind of a basin or a pool in the river.
So what makes this necessary?
The biggest factor is a drought. You know, last year on September the 16th, we reached the trigger. This year on September the 18th, we reached the trigger to create the seal. So what we have is we have a drought condition between moderate and severe in the Ohio Valley. The Ohio River gives about two-thirds of our water down here. So the drought is the biggest factor. The other contributing factor is the bottom of the Mississippi River is below sea level, up to 190 feet below sea level. So it has that avenue that the Gulf naturally wants to fill in.
So compare and contrast, if you will, with what happened in 2023, because as I understand it, this could be the 22, 23, 24, the fourth year you've done this in a row, right?
That's right. We've done it every year since 2022.
But 2023 was the year that really got everybody's attention.
That's right. 2023 was the first time that we built the sill and it was overtopped. So we had to go back in, create kind of an augmented sill, as well as start preparing for the potential of water intake impacts upriver. This year is right now, it's more closer to last year, which mm-hmm. is getting to be normal. But we still have that drought that we have to keep an eye on, because that's the only thing that will resolve our issue.
So that's what I was going to ask you. What would keep it, what needs to happen to prevent it from being 2023 all over again?
Rain. You know, we're still very early. We have a very conservative trigger, so we want to give us enough time to have that sill in place. We're looking at needing the sill by the end of October. So we're still a long way to go ahead of us. It's really the only thing that can change it is if we get rain in the Ohio Valley.
Yeah, I was going to say, the rain doesn't have to happen here. It has to happen way upriver.
That's exactly right. The rain that we get in our area really doesn't have much of an impact. We need to see a good 10 inches of rain across the Ohio Valley to really make changes to what kind of flows we're predicting.
So this is the fourth year in a row you've done it. The only times you've done it before the four-year stretch was in 88, 99, and 2012. Can we infer anything from that, Ricky?
It's the weather. You know, it's the drought. We haven't had this many years of a drought in a row. And so that's the real challenge that we're seeing. This year was the first year that we actually had a flood fight on the river since 2021 as well. So we were kind of hoping that would have an added benefit as we get this far down into the low water season. But unfortunately, the drought's taken over.
So wait, you had a what before? A flood what?
We were in a flood fight this year on the Mississippi River for about 100 days. So we were that was the first year since 2021 that we had had a significant flood fight, kind of reaching close to operating Bonnie Carey. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the drought in the Ohio is significant enough. It's really dropping our flows.
Is this the new normal, do you think, or do you know, or do you just take it year to year?
We do year to year. Obviously, we kind of shift and work with our triggers and our actions to get ready for it as if it's going to be every year. But in general, the river tends to be a little cyclical in nature. If you remember, you know, in the late teens, we were operating Bonnie Carey every year. Now mm-hmm. it seems like we're in a drought cycle.
So is this going to have any, you're right about that. Does this have any impact on Plaquemines Parish, or do you know?
They will. So when we build the sill, we build it at around Myrtle Grove, where there's mm-hmm. a couple of water intakes below the sill that could get saltwater impacts. Fortunately, over the last years, Plaquemines Parish has really started preparing and getting things in place to address that saltwater impact that they could be having.
Yeah, when you talk about the cyclical nature, you got my attention to that, because it seemed like the Bonnie Carey was opened for a couple of years in a row. Is that right?
That's right. We actually opened it five times in 4 years.
When was that?
2016 to 2020.
So now we're in a drought period, and it's liable to go back to the other thing. Who knows, right?
That's exactly it. It's Mother Nature. She holds all the cards.
Thank you, Ricky. Any final thoughts?
You know, we'll keep the public informed. We're going to be tracking this every day as we move forward. If there's any change or if we see anything coming close to, say, 2023, we're definitely going to let the public know well in advance.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Ricky Boyette, the Chief of Public Affairs for the Army Corps of Engineers, New Orleans Division. Tim tells me that ESPN is reporting the three annual opponents for LSU have been released, or at least ESPN reporting that they are Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Arkansas, so they won't be playing Alabama on the schedule or Florida every year going forward. Alabama's opponents will be Tennessee, Auburn, and Mississippi State, which is the closest school, I think, SEC school, to Alabama. Will take a break, come back, find out what Newell's got planned for us today here on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.